Welcome to Deep Psychology, everyone. I'm Ross, and today we're going to be talking about, is enlightenment the right word? So we use the word enlightenment all the time in spirituality, but I feel it's one of the most misleading terms in the entire field, really. And that's really the whole point of this episode, is to refine our understanding of what this actually is. And I'm going to also suggest a new word. Well, it's not a new word. It's a better word, a better way of describing it concisely. The thing about enlightenment is that it suggests a climactic transformation, like this final stage, a final step, or something rare and special. You know, it has this kind of mythic glow about it. The word enlightenment, it seems sort of very grand and mysterious. But what I found is that the actual experience of what we call enlightenment is quieter and more grounded and more ordinary than the word would suggest. And really, if we look at what enlightenment is describing, and we're going to talk about this a lot more as this episode goes on, but just briefly, if we look at what enlightenment is really describing, it's describing not becoming something new, but simply recognizing what has always been here and who you have always been. So enlightenment is really the default word for spiritual awakening. Listen, if you listen to podcasts like this on a regular basis, I'm sure that you've come across this word many times. And it's typically just the default word we use. And it serves a purpose. It inspires people. And we'll talk about that a bit more as well as we go on. It's an inspiring word, and it can encourage people to get started with the work. But I also think it's very problematic, and that better options may exist. One of the main problems, actually, with the word enlightenment is that it's a translated word. I mean, the actual etymology of enlightenment is quite complicated, and this isn't about the etymology of enlightenment. But most of the time, it's used in a Buddhist context, and it is a translation of the ancient Hindi term. I think it's Hindi, the term Bodhi. The term Bodhi in Buddhism basically means realization. However, we've translated it into enlightenment often, and this is very common with Eastern terminology, and it's a problem. They're often translated into rare English terms or sort of fancy English terms. And the problem with that is that it creates confusion regarding the original meaning, because we're trying to describe, you know, how would you say Bodhi in English? So we say enlightenment. But the thing is that the word enlightenment and the word Bodhi may not be used in the same way in both languages. So there's a translation problem. From the very beginning, there is a translation problem, because we're trying to translate a concept from a different language. And so we get a misrepresentation of the term, which obviously misrepresents what we're actually trying to describe, because we're trying to describe the thing that Bodhi describes. And if we just translate Bodhi as enlightenment, well, maybe enlightenment isn't describing the same thing anymore. And really, this is actually a problem, forgetting the fact about the translation problem, but that is a huge problem, really, with so many terms from Buddhism, Hinduism, and Sufism, for example. It's just, translation is inherently difficult, and when we're talking about things like this, it's even more difficult, and it's something that plagues spirituality. But even more so, what's a problem is teachers using very sort of highfalutin words like infinity or bliss or consciousness or peace or transformation. Because these things sound very ungrounded. They sound very sort of distant. They sound fantastical in a certain way. And actually, what I would say is that when teachers do this, it's because their own understanding of it is still either not fully developed or it's ungrounded and it's not fully integrated into ordinary life. Now, that's a very bold claim, because a lot of very popular and powerful and respected teachers use words like this, but I'm just, you know, I'm just laying out an opinion here. I think they also do it because they sell very well, and this is another problem we're going to speak more about as the episode goes on. However, I will concede a couple of things to enlightenment. There is a couple of things that the word enlightenment gets right about awakening or spiritual realization, although even those words are problematic. The first is the transformation aspect. So it's pretty undeniable that spiritual awakening does transform people, not theoretically, but very practically, very observably. If you meet people who have some degree of spiritual awakening or enlightenment, you'll notice that their behavior and their personality and their presence can be markedly different from the average person. And often other people notice this, even people who aren't spiritual in any way. They will notice this. And this is undeniable. And I can myself say that this has happened to me and other people notice it. It doesn't feel like a badge that I need to wear. It feels like I'm just being the way I want to be, but people notice. And this is good because it inspires students to get started and it provides a certain direction for them. So using the word enlightenment, it captures this aspect of transformation, which can be a positive thing as long as we don't create fantasies around what the transformation means, and we're going to cover that more as we go on. It also captures the insight component of awakening, because look at the word enlightenment, enlighten. It really means to shine a light on something or to illuminate something. Now, obviously, that's metaphorical, but what it really means is to reveal or to clarify something. And of course, awakening clarifies several aspects of being human. It clarifies your real identity. It clarifies the nature of consciousness, the nature of perception, and it clarifies the nature of personality. And this way of using the word enlightenment is central to awakening. This revealing or this clarification. And if we don't communicate this somehow, well, you're not really communicating anything, because this is a central aspect of awakening. So the word enlightenment, two things that it does do very well are the transformation aspect of spiritual awakening, which is very observable and practical and undeniable in many cases, and the insight part of it, which is simply central to the whole thing. But let's go back a bit to the downsides. The other problem with the word enlightenment is it creates false expectations in many ways. For one thing, it can imply a single moment of insight, because you use the word enlightenment as though it's a single thing. It implies a climactic shift, which is really, there can be shifts, sudden shifts, but enlightenment is just a process. It's kind of like learning to play an instrument. You don't all of a sudden just learn to play an instrument. It builds up over time and it goes deeper and it goes broader, and there is really no end. And enlightenment is the same. It implies a monumental discovery. you know, it implies a sort of like grand revelation, which of course you can have moments of that. I've had moments of that, plenty of them, but that doesn't really help you integrate it into daily life, because it sort of has you seeking. It's kind of like enlightenment. It must be this grand thing. It must be far out there. But actually, in ultimate instance, it's a very grounded thing. It's a very immediate thing. It implies arrival, which is problematic, because enlightenment is just a process. It's an ongoing process. It can imply becoming special, you know, the word enlightenment. Oh, I'm enlightened. You know, it has that kind of ego-boosting aspect to it. And implies a state. It implies something you reach and you never move from, which, again, very, very problematic. Let me give you a kind of metaphor that I use to describe the downsides of using this word or this particular aspect of it. It sounds like you make enlightenment sound like a very sort of cut and dry process. Like, let's turn on the enlightenment oven. Let's put the tray in for 30 minutes, you know. Let's meditate for X amount of years or whatever. And then we're going to get a cake and it's done. And it's not really capturing the nuances. The reality of awakening is quite different from what the word enlightenment may imply. There can be moments of joyful recognition, as I said, but they're not the main event. And usually awakening is gradual. It's perceptual. And it's a rewiring of the perceptual system. It's not this sort of grand discovery, in essence. It often happens intermittently, so you can be, you know, doing a spiritual practice for months and not really notice any progress. And then all of a sudden, you have a shift, and you have a sudden insight, or you have a sudden shift. It's a very messy process, you know. There's ups and downs, and there's jumps forward, and there's regression backwards, and there's no real guarantee of what it's going to look like. It's this continually shifting process. And it's got a very different tone about it to what the word enlightenment may imply. It's more grounding and sober and steady and ordinary than, you know, the idea of like this amazing transformation, this sudden kind of like realization or insight, or any kind of ideas about becoming some supernatural spiritual being. You know, these things they're very tempting and they're very kind of attractive to our mind, but the actual reality of it is much more grounded, not necessarily mundane in the kind of boring sense, but just more grounded and more sober. It's a sobering process. There's also a kind of another subtle problem with the word enlightenment, is that it paints awakening to be a kind of achievement, like something to advertise, like something to share, something to put on social media. And when you start having awakening experiences, you will want to tell other people. Like, that's part of it. But eventually there comes a point where you realize that for a reason I can't really go into right now, that there's no one to share it with. It's a very personal thing, and it's not something to advertise or promote or to frame as an achievement in any way, because it's a perceptual rewiring. It's not like a kind of achievement that will get you somewhere in in your career or something like that. It's the nature of it is very different to ordinary achievements, and this can be challenging because we tend to frame any change in our lives as a kind of achievement, but eventually enlightenment reaches a point where you realize it is not an achievement at all. It's simply a sobering up. It's a recognition of something that has always been the case. And frankly, most people don't care about enlightenment. Most people cannot comprehend enlightenment, and therefore most people do not admire it in any way. So if you do become awakened, most people around you won't recognize it. They might even think you're weird. And at best, they're going to notice behavioral things, personality changes, but they're not going to understand their cause, and they're not really even going to ask. And I know it may sound disappointing, but it's just so you're not confused about what it might actually be like. As I've said, the word enlightenment is a marketing, it's a good word for marketing. Now, I'm not saying it was made up for marketing purposes like lots of other terms in the English language nowadays, but it's a good way for people to attach promises to their spiritual systems. Like, they can easily attach concepts like bliss and peace and transformation and salvation to the word enlightenment, because these things, they go together. When you say the word enlightenment, you can then tag things on with it. However, awakening is a very subtle thing. It's very nuanced, and it's largely ineffable past a certain point. And that doesn't really fit well with marketing, and especially in modern times where we're getting more and more saturated by marketing everywhere we go. It doesn't fit well with slogans and bright colours and catchphrases, does it? Talking about something that's subtle and nuanced and largely ineffable, it's easier just to say, meditate for 30 days and you will experience bliss and all this stuff. It's very tempting to simplify and dilute it, and using a word like enlightenment just helps with that. I guess another point here is that awakening doesn't fix everything. So enlightenment has this very kind of idealistic twist to it. It's like, it sounds like absolute purification or absolute kind of, perfection of being human. And let me tell you that every spiritual teacher I've known has had dysfunctional traits and had dysfunctional behavior patterns, just like every other human being in the world, and including myself, of course. Because deep change, deep broad change, takes a long time, and such change is never really complete. And the word enlightenment doesn't really show that at all. You can have dysfunctions for years and decades, and frankly, you can develop new ones. There's no guarantees. Like, making guarantees of any kind is very problematic, because our psychology is very messy and very complicated, and our human vehicle, if you want to call it that, is limited and it's flawed, and it's a project. It's a never-ending project. So the word enlightenment, it doesn't capture that at all. Interestingly, another way to translate the word, another way to describe the word awakening is the Zen term kensho. Kensho. The literal English translation of the word kensho, which is a Japanese word, is seeing your nature. So I think this is a much cleaner, and it's very close to my own term that I've started using, which I'll mention in just a minute here, it's a much cleaner version. It's a much, it's much closer to what the actual core of it is, and it removes a lot of the hearsay and a lot of the kind of false promises and so on. And it's much more sober and grounded. You know, you're just saying, you're seeing your nature. That's it. We're not making any grand promises here. And in fact, as I said, I now tend to avoid the word enlightenment or awakening, and instead what I use is a word recognition. Recognition, because the word recognition implies genuine seeing and it implies real understanding, but it doesn't imply something miraculous. It doesn't imply some kind of like fanciful transformation. It's turning towards the nature of experience and coming to terms with it, opening to it, seeing it, being sober with it, without all the downsides of the word enlightenment. The word recognition doesn't overpromise. It doesn't paint grand transformation as the goal. It invites you to be grounded and to be ordinary, and to settle into what is already happening, your present experience, as into life as it already is, and recognizing who and what you actually are beyond your usual identification with the mind and body, but without making any grand promises about what that will lead to. I also think this is a subtle point, that recognition gives the responsibility to you. It doesn't ask you to broadcast it. It doesn't ask you to advertise it. It doesn't ask you to seek praise or validation from other people. All it says is recognize and live from that place. You know your true nature and live from it. That's it. And actually the word recognition is, it points you to the practice of awakening, which is an ongoing practice or an ongoing sort of thing to live by. Even if, you know, overall you have a pretty solid recognition, it is a practice. And the word recognition tells you what the practice is, which is just basically realize there's nothing outside of your perception. There's nothing outside of your present experience. And all ideas of anything outside your present experience are ideas. That is it. And this word recognition can be like your practice word. It's like whenever you're not aware of this, like literally whenever you are not aware of this, whatever you are doing, wherever you are, the word recognition, it just has this sobering quality to it. It just asks you to see through your own concepts and illusions and your own belief in subject and object and your own belief in your habitual sense of identity. And it says, no, recognize who and what you really are. And it puts all the... It's not responsibility in sort of like a daunting way. It's just responsibility in terms of, do you know who you are? Because if you don't, no one else can know. And you cannot ask for anyone to tell you, really. It's saying, you know, before anything else, recognize who and what you are. And also, recognition points to the present, because the only place that true recognition can happen is in the present. You know, you can conceptualize awakening, you can tell stories about it, you can read books about it, you can write, you can even write books about it, and you can record episodes about it, but recognition is fundamentally a silent act. Not silent in the sense that you need to walk around and never say a word to anyone, but what I mean is that it doesn't need words. And actually the purest recognition I find is completely silent. And when you come out of concepts and out of explanations and out of your mental patterns, you're closer to silence, and you're therefore closer to conceptless awareness, which is really what awakening is in one sense. And that is present awareness, because when you see through all concepts, you are present, because concepts include the sense of past, the sense of future, the sense of an ongoing story of who you are, and so on. The word recognition, it's a here and now model. It's not here to there. It's not meditate for 10 years and you'll get there. It's no, recognize. That is it. Recognize your true nature. Recognize what is already present right now. That is the kernel of awakening. Whereas the word enlightenment, to me, it paints a picture of sort of an exponential growth curve, where finally when that curve goes sufficiently exponential, you're going to have like this explosive moment of explosive moment of awakening, explosive moment of release and of joy and of bliss, and then that's you done. Very problematic. And it also has this image of like, I almost imagine like a bottle of fizzy juice being shaken and then the top being released. You know, you are the juice and your spiritual practice is the shaking, and then the top being released is like the awakening. It's like it all builds up to this climactic moment, and then this like big release and this big kind of amazing moment. Recognition doesn't say that. It just says now is the time to recognize who and what you really are. There is nothing being hidden from you, and that is essentially such a core part of what awakening is and what your true nature is. And fundamentally, it is just so aligned with truth, the truth of who you are, the truth of your identity, the truth of experience, because truth is already present. Truth is what is. Your experience is already seamless. Can you recognize that? Your experience right now is already completely unified. Your experience right now is borderless. There is no border to your experience. Everything is absolutely here, and it's all absolutely seen and witnessed and fully revealed, fully available. You can't miss your present experience. There is nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to get. Just notice this right here, right now, as it is. This is your experience, and this is all there is, and this is you. And this is the core recognition behind spiritual awakening. So that is my discussion on the term enlightenment and why it's very problematic. And I've suggested my own word, which is the word recognition, which I've also explained why this is a much better term, I believe, for spiritual awakening, for knowing your true nature, for seeing your true nature, as the Zen folks would say. So if you really like this podcast, I'm here every Wednesday. And I also have snippet episodes on Thursday, Sunday, and Tuesday. Please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And also head to the main podcast page where you can subscribe to my newsletter. I send out fortnightly updates into my work so that you know what I'm up to in terms of my books, my podcasts, and my music, and so on. All right, thanks a lot for listening, and I will see you very soon for the next episode.